happy 10-year anniversary to fans of RuPaul's Drag Race, a show with, along with the internet, has introduced drag queens to audiences that would have never ventured into a bar to see a drag show. The first contestant from the series to come on Feast of Fun was Jade Sotomayor, the Chicago Puerto Rican queen who captured the hearts of viewers with her fierce dance moves, gorgeous looks, and meaty tuck.
For gals like Jade from season one of Drag Race, it's not always been easy to make a name for themselves, since their season has been locked away in Mama Ru's vault for quite some time.
Today, Jade Sotomayor, RuPaul's Drag Race, hashtag original fish, joins us to take a look at how the show has changed the world. Will everyone be a drag queen in the future?
Listen as Jade talks about her struggles overcoming depression, her friendships with other Ru girls, and her upcoming appearance on Cooking with Drag Queens.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer.
Original fish, Jade Sotomayor, is on today's Feast of Fun. It's the 10-year anniversary of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Already.
Congratulations, mi amor.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I think you are our first Ru girl that we talked to, besides RuPaul herself, right?
Well, RuPaul is not a Ru girl because she's the judge and the host of RuPaul's Drag
Race. Are you saying
Race.
She's not her own woman?
Well, she RuPaul.
But the first contestant from RuPaul's Drag Race was Chicago's very own Original Fish on this podcast, Jade Sotomayor.
Me, yes, it was.
And we were dying to talk to you at the time, I remember. You were performing at a Latino club.
Sangria.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember that club very well.
And we saw you perform in a club in Boys Town, in the gay neighborhood here in Chicago, and the public showed up, and the managers were not prepared to deal with the intensity of the people who showed up.
Because it was you and Bebe, I think, did a show together, right?
Yeah. And it was like, we said, this is like the Beatles. Mm.
That was Roscoe's. That's when we did the Absolute Vodka tour, the first one here in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
it was
so cool.
Was that one of the first main gigs that, because, you know, Drag Race was kind of almost like, the first season was like a pilot, to be frank. You know, it didn't have the lavish sets. RuPaul walked around in drag and interacted with the contestants a lot. There was like a lot of things that we think about RuPaul's Drag Race, what hadn't yet been established. Mm-hmm. RuPaul even herself, in an early episode on the first season, said, congratulations.
Yeah, no, I mean, we didn't have anything to compare with. So everything that was happening felt amazing. And it was like, I felt like a star. Everything was awesome. People were starting to recognize. Obviously, it wasn't as known as now, but it was still nice to travel outside of Chicago and be headlining. Because before that, I traveled the world performing as a dancer. But to be the star was something new, and it was just so amazing.
And that's the great thing about the show, really, is it has become a star maker. You know, the gay people that we go to see perform and trans people that we go to see perform now are a lot of the people from that show.
Yeah, and that being before that, I had just started kind of like making a name for myself in Boys Town. And so getting on this show felt like it was like I graduated to the next level. And it felt very rewarding to come back home, you know, accomplished and known, and have your friends who like rooted for you, you know, be proud of you.
You were on TV.
Yeah.
How did you get approached to being on Drag Race for the first season? Because that's not something people were able to audition for?
No, it was word of mouth and MySpace and internet, all that. Monica Beverly Hills was the one who called me and told me that they were auditioning.
So it was Monica who got you on the show.
Yeah.
And how did they find out about Monica?
Well, Monica auditioned as well.
But how did she find out about it?
She had found out that another queen was auditioning too and just gave me the information.
So she just passed it along.
Yeah.
Was she a little bit jealous of the time that you got on the show?
No, she actually said, I'm auditioning for this show. They're doing this show and I think you're perfect for it. So she encouraged me to audition.
Now, the name that you were wanting to use was Jennifer Lopez, not Jade.
No.
And I was like, that's not going to work.
No, my first was with my name, my stage name. It was just that I didn't have one when I went to go first perform my first show. So they were trying to say, well, you like Jennifer Lopez, be Jennifer. But I thought it was too long, so I said just Jay. But then they said it wrong and they said Jade. So I kept it.
It stuck.
Yeah. And same with my last name. I never planned for my full last name to be part of my stage name because I was just Jade on season one. Mm-hmm. But that's when Facebook came out, so I had to use my last name. Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction to a lot of the contestants to being on a reality show where drag queens were required to compete against each other and do ridiculous challenges? I remember one of the first challenges, you guys got hosed down with a garden hose.
Oh, the mini challenge.
And Mike Reese was photographing you guys. And some of the queens didn't like it a lot.
Chanel was very
upset about it.
I liked it. I felt like I was on America's Top Model. I was like, throw that on me. I felt kind of fishy, everything. I was on those cars with the boys. And then the boys were real big, so I looked even smaller. I loved it.
Where did the term original fish come from?
Well, from here. In Chicago, back in that time, transsexuals were the headliners in most of the clubs and Miss Continental was like the biggest thing that any drag performer, transsexual can, you know, achieve. And so I worked with a lot of transsexuals who were just women, you know, beautiful women performing. So I always try to give that look. And so that's pretty much it. And I always wanted to be fishy. And that was my aesthetic.
Well, we can tell that you're an old school girl because you say transsexual instead of transgender. Because the use of the term actually didn't catch on until much later. From trans, and you can tell, like, someone like,
well, yeah,
Lady
because
Bunny,
what I used to say before is now I can't say at all. And to me, that was something that I loved if somebody called me, because I'd be like, oh, you think I'm fish, you think I'm, you know, woman.
Well, and it's interesting now today that a lot of feminists are actually asking people not to use the term fish because they feel like it's disingenuous or rude to associate women with, you know, the catch of the sea.
Well, it has been used by many a MC at a club in a rude way, being like, you know, you can tell by somebody's tone how they use the word fish. You say fish because you're like, celebrating it, but
yeah,
there's other people
exactly,
like, hey, nasty
but I
fish.
You know, it gets exhausting with because with any word, you can take any word and use it negative or positive, and it's just, I feel like it shouldn't be that way. I mean, like gay, like you'd be like, oh, you're gay and you'd be happy, or, oh, that's gay. Why are you doing that? Like, so are we going to stop saying gay? Like, come on now.
Now, I want to throw this out there for people who are listening who are on the fence about it.
Mm-hmm.
Fish, as associated with femininity and the divine goddess in all of us, is something that predates Christianity. And it comes from the shape of the fish as a symbol for the vagina. Christians appropriated this and use it as the Jesus fish.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you see those Jesus fishes on someone's bumper sticker, that's actually a symbol for the divine goddess.
Exactly.
And so just like everything good in pagan culture got appropriated by Christianity and then, you know, viciously murdered and destroyed. But we do have records of the fish predating Christianity as a symbol of worshiping and adoring the feminine mystique.
Well, you got to get that out there. You got to put that on T-shirts and bumper stickers.
And that's what I've always loved. I mean, since a child, I've loved the shape of a woman. I would always like drawing a woman and women's eyes and their hair and all that stuff. So when I do drag, I definitely celebrate the beauty of a real woman in every way I can. So when I say fish, it's just like I feel like I'm giving that appreciation to a real woman's physical appearance.
It's not for us to determine whether this term will be used or not used, but it, you know, and we definitely want to be respectful to people's
Absolutely.
Wishes. But at the same time, you know, I also love the fact that the word fish does trace itself back to this pagan idea when society was very in favor of honoring the woman in all of us.
Hi, I'm Fausto Furnace.
Martha watching YouTube videos. Wow. So, Rebecca Glasscock, your arch nemesis, who was on stage on season one. You guys were lip syncing against each other, and she sent you home.
Yes.
By strangling you.
Well, yeah, she did get a little frustrated, and I guess since it was starting, we didn't have many rules, and I guess the drag is not a contact sport wasn't allowed or wasn't made yet, so they sent me home.
She scratched her face.
Yeah, she scratched my face. Like, she pulled my wig, and
she pushed you down a little bit.
Yeah, grabbed me by the throat, pushed me on the floor.
And then later on, recently, she's asking... She's trying to say that she's hashtag original fish on social media.
Oh, yeah, that was, you know, I mean, it's just... It's,
I was like, a girl.
It was a lot of build up for that, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, after that, she tries to say that she didn't mean... She apologized. I forgave her on the reunion, but then afterwards, I found YouTube videos of her, like, trying to tell somebody who was getting snazzy, like a fan. Mm-hmm. She's like, don't make me pull a Jade on you. So, like, obviously, you know, she was... pretty much saying that she kind of attacked.
Now, when she did it to you, did it feel threatening? Or were you just like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, at that time, I kind of felt relieved because I said, oh, you touched me. You grabbed me wrong. Every reality show I've ever seen, mm-hmm. you get eliminated. You don't touch any other contestants mm-hmm. because you get sent home. But I was so shocked that they sent me home. I really didn't know what to do. I just... Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were really surprised that Rebecca made it into the top three.
Yeah, I mean, I still get mail about it. Mm-hmm. But me getting upset about the hashtag was more of a buildup because it's been 10 years and it's been hard being with the new girls coming out and they get the new thunder and all that stuff. Me still working and being present and communicating with my fans and showing up to red carpets and going to drag cons. That when they did the 10-year anniversary and brought us all back and honored us, she was there. And then now she's coming back and then she's using my hashtag that I've been using for years, mm-hmm. which is clearly people know me because the hashtag came from people calling me that. So I marked it and I kept it and I branded it. And it
you
was just
you have a like a registered trademark.
For we're working on it right. We're working on it right now.
Well, it's so what was that Chanel in the back of the stage? If you play it slowly, you can start watching these now on Netflix. And
it's coming. It's on there now. Yeah. Or
it's coming
soon.
To VH1 too.
There's a couple different countries that are already playing it right now. Yeah. They just started season one,
but it's coming back to the United States on VH1. They're going to start playing it again.
I think they started already, okay. didn't they?
Yeah,
they
started. I think on the second,
because our anniversary.
And so now people can see Chanel gasping like, what the fuck am I on? And Chanel actually quit the show, like Ben de la Creme. She said, I'm done with this.
Well, because I was up to that feeling too, because it just something just didn't feel right. And I guess everybody wasn't like realizing that everyone's trying to figure out what's going on, even production. They weren't sure where we're going with things. They were kind of missing a lot of the good stuff because there was a lot of things that were happening that when the camera wasn't, because when the camera was there, we were mostly like trying to do what we needed to do. Mm. So we didn't have the mirrors, the two-way mirrors. Mm. So, they missed a lot of
the untucks and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And that was, I think that happens with a lot of reality TV shows that they get criticized unfairly in their first couple of seasons is that they're just finding their legs. They're trying to understand what exactly is the good
and
stuff.
We were the season that we weren't prepared for anything. They did not give us a list of what the competition's going to be like, if it's going to be this theme or what. They said just bring all your drags. So for the first three episodes, everything that was there was pretty much made.
Like on the spot.
Well, yeah, they brought us some materials, some wigs, and we had to go at it like for real drag queens at the day you do, you know?
The first challenge was drag on a dime.
Yes.
They gave you a bunch of garbage and said, look like $1 million.
Yep. So I grabbed.
Do you remember what you did?
Yeah, I did like this warrior African themed goddess, which I just saw. What was it? Those tiki sticks?
Tiki torches.
Tiki torches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I immediately thought, I want to turn that on. How can I do this? And so when I grabbed that, I started looking and I just saw like this African print and it was like really cool. And Bibi was like stalking me right behind me. I was like, and I didn't even know her yet. So I didn't know what I was doing.
Clicking noises behind you.
She asked me, so she can use all that. I said, I'll let you know when I'm done.
For people that don't know, Bibi Zarabanay eventually became the season first winner.
Yes.
She's a drag queen from Cameroon.
Yeah,
right.
Cameroon! And she was someone who really enjoys embracing her... not only just the authentic culture, the Aboriginal culture that she comes from, but also sort of the homogenized Western preconceived notions of what it means to be African.
Yes, yes.
So she's always just like drag, you know, embraces and rejects the superficial understanding of femininity. She also embraces and rejects a superficial understanding of African culture, especially. Mm-hmm. You know, Cameroon. Mm-hmm. And so that for her, you know, seeing you with tiki torches and grass skirts and stuff, just like, get me those.
Yeah, she was, I was like, I'm telling you, I didn't know her. So if I knew, I'd probably be like, oh, girl, okay, let's work it out. But cause she didn't even wear anything in that style. Like, she ended up making like a black dress with like a corset with wood chips or something like that.
Who did you really get close to from your first season?
Nina was right away.
Nina Flores?
Yep, we ran to each other. We shared a table together. I was finishing my stuff, still going in the dumpster, getting her petals for her blazer. Like, it was awesome to work with the girls and not feel a need to, like, have drama for TV time. Mm. Although, like, now that I understand the game, then, okay, like, I'll have time to do, you know.
She makes a pretty good, she lives in Denver, Colorado now, and she's making a pretty good living as a DJ.
Yeah.
Whereas the drag aspect of hers is kind of... not as important anymore.
Well, I mean, I believe it's important, but it's so flooded now. I mean, there's so many of us that it's hard for all of us to be booked the same way we were 10 years ago. You know, there was never a girl in every state. Like right now, there could be two girls in every state on the same night and still be left over. It was so much work. Now it kind of slowed down, so you had to find like a, you know, a different area to be brought in. What I did was that I was bartending. Mm-hmm. So we switched that over into like bringing me over as a star tender. Yeah. So you
were you bartending in drag?
Yes. Or,
oh wow.
So I've done drag and out of drag. But
were you a good bartender as in drag and heels and wigs? And all
yeah.
That
hot,
long
did
nails.
Did you wear heels or did you change?
I wore heels.
Girl, that's really rough. Hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I naturally walk in the balls of my feet, so it was never really. An issue.
Girl.
And, and she's petite. It's not like us hulking guys carrying hundreds and hundreds of pounds on those.
And I, you know, and I do
sodas.
Get it because when I'm like carrying my bags and I'm in my heels, I start feeling my ankles. I'm like, okay, I get it. But
I just know like anytime I wear heels, it hurts like hell. So there must be some kind of conditioning you go through to wear them. I don't know.
Honestly, I think being a dancer and the past 10 years always being in my heels, like I never take my heels off. I never am in flats. I think part of it's because I'm short too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my drag sisters are tall. And so when they're on heels, it's like
and when
ridiculous.
We did our cooking with drag queens, I do believe we put you on an apple box.
On a box.
Which is coming around soon. Uh-huh. So just not even a month away, Jade Sotomayor and Monica Beverly Hills are going to be making empanadas.
My bestie.
Meaty stuffed empanadas. It's going to be so good, honey.
That was so much fun.
Well, I think... A lot of people when they think about RuPaul's Drag Race, they think about how the show has brought in a lot of gender nonconforming artists to people's homes. It's brought a lot of LGBT people into people's hearts. But one thing we don't really talk about is how Puerto Rican artists have become really seen because of the show. You and Nina Flowers were sort of the first Puerto Rican queens that people really got to fall in love with.
Yeah, I mean, and I even like with Nina, like she has this androgyn kind of over the top look. Mm-hmm. I feel with Jessica Wilde and Yara Sofia, I felt that they were more of an essence of Puerto Rican style and stuff like that. And I feel like they were not given as much exposure. I mean, Yara did a lot, but I mean, she was on season one, which of All Stars that didn't really do well.
Right.
So. I'm hoping that she's... I mean, I don't have a problem with any of the girls from All Stars 1 having another chance. Anybody having a second chance is fine. But I think Yara is one of those Puerto Rican girls that can mix an androgyn look and then mix a fish look. And she's just one of those Puerto Rican artists that I think has been overlooked as well.
Mm. Well, and I think, you know, in terms of like Puerto Rico right now, Puerto Rico's been in the news with... So, you know, sort of being caught politically in us strangling... Or releasing ourselves in the strangle of Trump and the Republican Party and their Russian interference and, you know, how they're sort of trying to co-opt and destroy a lot of, like, the middle class in the United States. And Puerto Rico's kind of at the heart of that that battle and debate, you know? So I asked this to Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know,
the man who wrote Hamilton and In the Heights.
And In the Heights, I said, you know, in a lot of ways, all this adversity is actually a beautiful thing for Puerto Ricans because it allows us to come together and to put aside our differences between, you know, statehood and Commonwealth status and independent status and really ask ourselves what is best for Puerto Rico, what is best for Puerto Rican people and our culture. And, you know, in some ways, whether you wanted this or not, you're seen kind of you people, artists like yourself, are seen as ambassadors for Puerto Rican culture.
Yeah. And I mean, absolutely.
What, how do you feel like when people ask you about the political crisis in Puerto Rico or, you know, or they ask you about all this kind of turmoil that's happening? Your mother is living in San Juan right now.
Well, I mean, that's what's made me more focused on, you know, real issues in life. Like, I mean, I've been known for 10 years. My claim to fame has been RuPaul's Drag Race. After that, I have filmed independent films. I have come out in other TV shows. And it's still RuPaul's Drag Race, what's going on and what's happening. When I look at my Twitter, people are talking more about the last elimination than real issues that are happening. So this year I have decided to focus to do a lot more because the fact of me not knowing stops me from helping or making a difference or spreading the word of what's going on. It's intimidating for me not to speak of because I don't know. So I'm trying to surround myself with more people that are cultured and want to do exactly what I want, make a difference and use the platform to spread awareness of whatever it may be that needs.
Your mother was extraordinary. Noemi Pena, she came on the first season on the podcast. And I think, you know, had people really sort of been more understanding of the power that the show had in its first season at the get-go, your mother would have certainly been in the forefront of LGBT families talking about...
My mom is the one that I'm like, I wish I could be so much more like her because she can speak her mind off and she's just so open and fun, easy for her. Like, to me, it's a lot more, I'm more timid, I'm a little bit more shy. I like to listen to people and I'm okay with that. My mom has always been the person that, like, she just gives me that strength, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was on RuPaul's Drag Race with me as well.
When did she show up on the show?
She was in the episode when they show the queens that almost made it and our audition tapes, because she was in my audition tape.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So she was super excited and she did the podcast with you. She did a lot of things with me first, except that other
Your
film
mother said... Mark, do you remember this?
What?
Noemi came on and said that Jade had turned to drag to help the family financially.
Yeah.
Was that just a nice way of her sort of encouraging you?
Well, that was the time that I was getting paid to perform. Mm-hmm. I was a dancer and I wasn't getting any money. I mean, I was traveling a lot for free and seeing the world, but there was no income coming. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I had a job that I was getting paid and I was able to help, because at that time my stepfather, her ex-husband had left without notice and all that. So
because you get paid at the gig, you get the tips
and get the money. Mm-hmm. I was able to help pay rent. So that's what it all started.
And early on, you know, the game really changed for drag queens. I think, you know, because there was a lot of emphasis on looking, very beautiful, embracing this, idealized image of what a woman was. Mm-hmm. And then came along season 4 and the zombie challenge. Mm-hmm. And the drag zombie challenge with Sharon Needles. And
well, I mean, that was the whole era where Gaga was blowing up too, like the Gaga monsters lady. And
mm-hmm. We had a Gagafication of Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Where it went from this kind of,
you know, the mostly the, you know, beauty, fashion, looking mm-hmm. very passable sometimes mm-hmm. to just, you know, getting your freak flag out to fly.
Well, because prior to that, I mean, like in the 80s and, they had the club kids and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And that was what was really in. Mm-hmm.
And then they killed somebody and everybody's like, that's a club kid. Watch out. They may murder me.
No fun.
They're killing you usually with their good looks.
And
not
the Continental era started.
Yeah.
And that's when it was just all really fish.
And like you said, when you started doing drag here in Chicago, it was very a trans-centric drag scene. And a lot mm-hmm. of the guys that did drag were like, oh my God, all the girls, you know, the trans girls are all getting the gigs at the time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because it was that was the drag that most gay boys were okay with. Mm. They really didn't like the fact that any guy to date a guy that did drag. Mm-hmm. But if you did drag, then you, at least you had to look good in it. Mm-hmm. It was very weird back then. Now it doesn't matter what you are, which is amazing. And now all those boys want to do drag themselves. So it's very open and it's very cool. But at my time, it was very, you had to look pretty and you had to have your shit together.
In the future, will we all be drag queens?
Yeah. Well, we all are anyway,
all the gay
right?
boys.
Well, the feminine is inside of all of us, you know, mm-hmm. as the Jesus fish says.
Well, I have had straight friends that honestly get a kick out of like throwing my wig on and they start acting full, running around or whatever. I've even had my friend's boyfriend put on heels on and they want to try it. I mean, it's just something they want to feel and express. It has nothing to do with who they want to sleep with.
One of the earliest viral videos we have is you putting on eye makeup on me.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
that's what the video I was looking at when the sound came on.
I forgot about that.
Jade's eye makeup tricks. Is that a man or a woman? Somebody wants to know. Pathetic, you're a dude, not a female. Somebody needs to go back to the drawing board and have that mommy tell them all about the birds and the bees. That's from 7 years ago. I don't know if people still comment like that See? As they used to. I think things have changed and people are just, you know, they're getting it more now.
That's when you had me do the split on your kitchen counter.
We do. We have this gorgeous photo of Mark and Jade pretending to be kind of like a cisgender Puerto Rican couple. Mm-hmm. And Jade serving Boricua Esposa fish with her cafetera, Dumb. Serving up her husband a hot cup of coffee mm-hmm. in the morning because he wants one.
I need a little something to get me going, you know.
Now, you met an early Alaska. We were actually fans of Alaska through MySpace.
Okay.
And I had found out through Alaska because I was just kind of looking at, I always was looking for mm-hmm. interesting guests on the show. And I saw Alaska's biography that she was this like alien drag queen, which I really love that idea from the planet Glamtron. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had Alaska 5000. It was kind of mm-hmm. like she was like the Terminator.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we were just thinking, wow, what a dynamic, weird, fun person. Mm-hmm. And then when we first met Alaska, it was like, hi.
Yeah.
She was so shy, so quiet and reserved. You yeah. met her.
Yes, I did. I didn't actually meet her until after season 4 when Sharon was touring already. Mm-hmm. So she had came with Sharon and that's when I got to meet her face to face. But I'm sure we
she
were
was
Facebook
so quiet then, you know?
Yeah. Oh no, very, very, but she still is like when you speak to her outside of, you know, performance and you're just one-on-one, she's, mm-hmm. the sweetest person ever. Like so kind. She was actually the first, Rue sister who donated when I had the GoFundMe for my mom in the hurricane. Aww. She like immediately, like with her donation, I was able to get my mom the generator right off the bat. And
she took some of that All Stars 3 money.
Yeah. And, well, and Acid Betty as well. She was another one. Gia Gunn. There was a couple of mm-hmm. them, but Alaska right there. Boom. Dropped.
It is interesting. Like these girls that are sort of portrayed as villains or seen as villains are usually the ones that are the warmest and the sweetest. Mm-hmm. And they usually step up faster than anyone. I loved seeing Alaska blossom into this artist that she is today because she really, you know, that show for someone like her really allowed her just to explore and explode her creativity in ways that it, you know, probably would never ever seen.
They gave her the support, right?
Yeah, inspired. It put pressure on her to you know, get out of her comfort zone. And that's what usually when you hear the judges saying, we need you to like push yourself. And I'm like thinking, well, you already brought this many costumes. It's not like mm-hmm. you can make a better costume over what you have. But I think what they're really trying to say is that we want you to really look inside your heart, your mind, and find that spark of that life, that light mm-hmm. that may be just muted right now because you're emotionally caught up in the moment. You may have a hangover. You may just feel like there's nothing there right now
there's
for
so
you
many
to
factors
shine.
To think, yep.
And it's just let go of that, you know. For you, last year, you had a really, really, really hard time figuring out what to do next with your career.
Yeah, well, that was me already snapping out of the situation. I had been going through a lot of depression, anxiety. It wasn't until like 2017 that I was actually diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. And so I was able to get the treatment that's needed and, you know, the therapy and focus on what's right and knowing that I'm not crazy, you know, because it's a serious issue that happens a lot. And a lot of people that are very quiet about it, you know, and you don't know that things are happening and they're feeling a certain way because they're trying to have this facade. And for me, I had that 24/7 on all my social media. I always had to make sure that my fans knew that I was okay and I was still working, although things weren't the same as it was 10 years ago.
Sure.
After like 2015, around 2016, things started to slow down a lot. And it's not that I wanted to leave doing Jade, but I just had to find other ways of, you know, making a better income. And so I went to do full-time star tending and dancing, but watching all the other girls getting all this notoriety and fame and kind of having people not respect me because I was on season one, because of the production value of it, and not giving me credit for being one of the first girls. I mean, half of these girls auditioned to be on season one. You know, half of the All-Stars girls auditioned. You know, the girls that are on the season before auditioned season one. But because, I guess, the quality of it, they give me that kind of
Well, and also
feedback.
It was rather, it went unseen for many years, yes, right? It was kind of like lost in a Vaseline haze, right?
Exactly. And then when they brought it back,
yeah, the Vaseline haze.
They called it the lost season. Mm-hmm. And although I was happy that they brought it back, but it was felt like they were still like adding to the, oh, but it's that season.
Yeah, it's something you know else. What I, it's, it was, it's, they were othering you. It yeah. was like, there's these and then, girls and then those
and even
girls.
Michelle Visage, she says it too, that it RuPaul's Drag Race didn't start till season three. That's like so unfair.
Is that when
say.
She started?
That's when she started.
Oh. Well, you know, that's not a self-serving statement at all, but
so it was, you know, it was just dealing with that and, you know, obviously not making the same amount of income that the new girls were, sure. but still having to show up for my fans at different red carpets, like I said, and look the part. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It gets expensive.
Well, and
right?
you have to remember that a lot of these girls that are in the new current season get a lot of stuff given to them as well. So on top of the fact that they're making the mm-hmm. coin, they're not having to spend much on getting dressed because they're getting mm-hmm. dressed for. Meanwhile, this little motherfucker right here from season one is working his ass off to make sure that my fans see me, that I'm still around. But deep down inside in the real life of me, David, I was very depressed and lost because I didn't have a management team like the girls do have now. Mm. Before, everything was just emailed to me, Facebook bookings. And so I would sit and just wait for my work and the work would sit on my, you know, just fall on my lap. Now it's a whole different ballpark. Mm. And so now coming back and starting to work and getting back in to the show business and doing my tours and all that stuff, I'm starting to teach myself all over again because I'm going to start learning my YouTube. Mm. I want to do my social media a lot better, but it's a whole new game. But you know, that's, you know, that's the business.
So how soon on Facebook can we expect you getting mad at RuPaul for not casting trans women? Cause it seems like, you know, half of the drag queens that are not on the show are the ones like commenting on that stuff. And it, and to me, it's like a lot of trans women have been on the show. They just maybe haven't made that a focal point of it. Like, certainly Monica Beverly Hills was living out as a trans woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe what they haven't or having problems is with someone who's already completely transitioned.
Yeah.
And I still don't see a problem with it because that's what I do and what I did before RuPaul's mm-hmm. Drag Race, work with trans. And it's never felt, I mean, it's, you, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to do my thing. I know what my value is just because one gender, whatever it's dress up, do the part, you know,
but it's interesting to see the show get a lot of pressure to include all kinds of gender expressions and identities. Whereas we see very little mm-hmm. discussion, and not to say, you know, I would like to see RuPaul's Drag Race have more variety.
But then that should probably be a spinoff because I kind of heard Trinity one time talking about that, about RuPaul's Drag Race and should, you know, and it's just that what it was mm-hmm. based on when mm-hmm. it first started was the art of a man transforming sure. into mm-hmm. looking like a woman. That's it. So why not have a different for like America's Top Model than they did it for the short models or they did it for co-ed?
But also it's, you know, the thing is though too, is like they don't have a problem with a trans queen and you know, and this is what the girls on Facebook, it's the titty queens.
Yeah.
It's the girls.
If you got boobs.
If you got boobs. Because, I mean, you look at Trinity's ass, she probably has more silicone or whatever is in her ass than somebody would have in their breast. Mm-hmm. But because it's, you know, it's bottom surgery, mm-hmm. you know, it's not
But girls have been, like, bottom, pumped since, like, since as long as I can remember. Yeah.
But if you look at what the judges are looking at in terms of criteria, it's not how realistic your breasts are. And most of these queens have, you know, hashtag Nina Bonina Brown have a very fake looking chunk of plastic on their their chest that's meant to look like tits. And to me, it's like these extraordinary makeup artists come in all gender expressions. And if you're looking in terms of like what a person is capable of presenting when given a challenge, I would say the show can't help not to include all these people that may not necessarily have had a front seat in the past, because the show is going to continue and going to continue to evolve. And we're just going to see more of that element. Now, what I'd like to see a lot of these people who criticize Drag Race doing is also criticizing other competition shows like American Idol or, you know, America's Next Top Model, or whatever, a lip sync battles to have more, you know, LGBTQ elements in it, because we are so harsh on our own community, on our own people. We expect them to do so much for us, and they should be doing everything for us, but we have to be just as demanding, even more demanding on the outside world to let us sit in the big kids table.
Yeah. Fight for employment equality, fight, you know, get trans people into office. Give people,
and we're doing that, you know? But I would like to, I just don't see, and it's not that, you know, I don't want to discredit people who criticize their favorite reality TV show for to be better. I also want to see, I just don't see enough of that, that strong, passionate voice being elsewhere. And I would be thrilled to see that. You've done so many movies and TV shows that people don't really aware of your acting skills. You know, you were, you were in a College Debts with Richard Pryor Jr., and your mom was even a cameo on it. You were did a made-for-TV movie with Susan Lucci.
Deadly Affairs, yeah, and Investigation Discovery. That was fun. I got the lead part of that, and it was reenactment of murder. So I was actually able to play that part where I murdered the chick, and as I mean, it's sad because it's a true story, but it was a lot of fun being able to.
So it's one of those shows where they're recreating a murder that took place, and you play the like sleazy guy who did it.
No, I played the cross dresser who got married to the man, and the woman who wanted to break us apart got her face busted in my house and strangled and then buried in the backyard.
All right, girl.
Yeah, she came in my wedding and everything. We fought. I fought in my wedding dress. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, but
what did Susan Lucci play?
Susan Lucci is the host. She's the narrator.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So she like talks.
It would have been fun if you had a fight with Susan Lucci in her wedding dress.
Oh, Susie, please slap me.
She's a camp icon as a soap opera star.
Erica Kane.
Yeah, who never... She got her... Like award
years,
once.
Yeah, years after.
After being nominated like 19 times. She originated that role, I think, in 1970. And in 1998 or 9, she finally
got
won
it.
Something.
Yeah.
So what kind of misunderstandings do people who struggle with depression face that people don't get?
Well, I mean, one of the things is like, well, at that time, too, my mom moved to Puerto Rico. My sister moved to Florida as well as my dad. And I never, since a child, have ever had been in a house alone. My mother has housed many of my friends growing up. And so I've always had people in my house.
You and Monica Beverly Hills are practically sisters.
Yeah. Yes. And so at that time, that's when I wasn't being seen. I wasn't getting hired. I wasn't being in Chicago. I felt respected or even... put somewhere that I felt that I have worked so hard for. I mean, I'm an original. I'm from Chicago. It had already been 4 years and nobody from Chicago was on. And I just wasn't getting the recognition. And I just felt, I felt very lonely and into my thoughts and not understanding why I was feeling that way and why I felt stuck and I couldn't do anything. And there was days that I just didn't want to do it, just sleep. I just wanted to sleep so that the days could go past and just wake up till the next day that I had to go to work. And and throughout that, I wasn't getting on social media. I wasn't looking out. I wasn't doing anything. I was just stuck. And, you know, sometimes you need to be open about that. And you need to tell people that you're going through that, because I didn't. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. And then on top of the fact that I really wasn't getting the bookings, I didn't have much to talk about. So I stood away and I kind of got out of the limelight for a while.
And was it seeking medical help that helped you get out of that? Or?
Yeah, well, because I never wanted to, because I knew my mother suffered from depression, anxiety, and I used to see the medication she would take, and she would be like a zombie and not there. And if you knew my mother, she's not like that at all. So I was very scared about that. But finally, with therapy and then the right, you know, finding the right medication and stuff like that, I don't freak out. I don't get boxed in. I'm able to move. I'm able to get out there, look for word, be more inspired, find that spark that you were talking about, because it's believing in yourself that really makes all this happen. And I used to be such a like fierce little bitch. Like nothing could stop me. And I had to remember that person, because I did do all of this and I did that years ago. So why am I feeling like I can't do anything better because I'm not recognized? So I'm back at it, and I'm working my little butt off for you guys to see.
Why?
You're the sort of evolving into this kind of executive drag queen.
You're here in your business male outfit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just had an interview today. It was exciting and got some good news about that, too. But it wasn't until I moved with Debbie Fox. You guys know Debbie.
Of course.
I moved in with her, and her family took me in and made me feel like part of the family, and that helped a lot. Feeling the love and not feeling alone, and just that support there. Then from there, I just kept going out and working, doing my thing. But even through all that, I still was working. I did I came out in Lipstick City, which was Shea Coulee's thing, as one of the featured dancers.
It's probably what got one of the things that got her cast on Drag Race.
She was awesome.
One recommendation for all drag queens, if you want to get on Drag Race, is create video content.
Yep.
You got a phone with a video camera. Use it, loca.
Absolutely. And so then I did another one, indie film called Bailiwick. And it's directed by Tanya, which I met from the first movie I did 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And it's going to be coming out soon. And I just filmed
that
down.
About?
It's a magician who passes on a book to the next person because he can only use it for a certain amount of time because it consumes him. Mm-hmm. But it's only meant to be passed on to another individual deserving, someone who's going through something and can use this to better his life.
Okay.
And I'm the last person that's given the book to.
Wow.
And then the people go, Uh-oh.
What are you going to do with that book now?
So it's got powers now. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Glasscock, watch out. La Venganza.
And then, with the past 3 years, it's been DragCon, and that's awesome. It's been giving me so much more energy because I see my fans and there's so many people that go, and the energy in those rooms, it's so positive. Like you would think a room full of drag queens would be some shady ass fucking shit, but it's amazing. You have so many different types of drags and everybody's cool. Everybody's loving. And some people that I don't even know come and talk to me, parents that tell me their kids' drag aesthetic. Like it's so freaking amazing.
Aww.
That it's gotten me like more in love with what I do. And just staying focused, and then still working on my acting, because that's primarily one of my favorite things to do.
I feel like there's a second reality TV show just at those drag con expos, just kind of capturing the eccentric people that go to that, it's I started filming and trying to document a lot of the fans and trying to make my own heavy metal parking lot documentary, just sort of like capturing the really interesting stories of all the fans and how their lives are transformed by going to these expos.
And I love the fact that they do that. And a lot of these websites, a lot of the papers feature people who just come to the DragCon. So you're not seeing pictures of just us RuPaul girls or any other influencer or whatnot. It's actual visitors getting headlined because of their look and stuff. So it's fun. I like that they do that. And everybody has a lot of fun. I've been able to do panels. I hosted the runway walk competition. So it's a lot of interaction with the fans. And they give you so much energy. It's amazing. So I'm getting ready for this year, LA. I'm teamed up with the Elite Queens. They're going to be managing me now, and we're getting ready to
get all
our merch set up for South America, and they're getting my South American tour. So guys, be ready to see the original fish down there.
You're having your macchiato, caramel macchiato fantasy.
Yes, because very, very much like Valentina, my fantasy is becoming my reality. Mm-hmm. And that's how it should be, right?
I think so. Jade, it's so good to see you blossoming and continuing. And you know, Cooking with Drag Queens with Jade Sotomayor is coming very soon on the YouTube channel for Feast of Fun.
And February 15 on Fox, Proven Innocent is a new TV show that's going to be airing. And I filmed an episode with one of the lead characters. And I'm really excited about it. Kelsey Grammer's in it.
He's rumored to be a cross-dresser.
Just like you.
So my scene was with Rachel LaFevre, and she's from Twilight. So you can imagine how excited I was. She's Victoria.
Oh,
so it was really cool.
And she's the lead, right? She's
the lead.
She was in prison for something. Do we know if she was guilty of it or not?
No, she's not guilty.
She was not guilty of it, but she did serve the time. Gets out, and she's like, "I'm going to exonerate people,
proven innocent."
Okay,
so that's her.
And she was Victoria was the villain in New Moon and Eclipse. Mm. She was a founder of member of James's Covenant with a power of enhanced self preservation, whatever that means. She real good at avoiding getting her head chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
She's a mean vampire.
Yeah, so now with that, it's my first time doing TV, like acting that where it's considered SAG eligible. So now I'm going into a whole different level, which I'm really excited about. So now seeking management for that part of my business. So just keeping busy right now.
I'm available for bar mitzvahs as well. And quinceañera parties. Will you come out of a cake?
I will.
You have?
What kind of cake?
A birthday cake.
Wow.
Wait. So this gig, they approached you and said, "Hey, we want Jade to come out of the
it
cake."
It was actually a girl that I used to go-go dance for who made the big birthday cake for me to come out for her boyfriend's birthday party.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And did you fool him into thinking you were a real girl?
No, but he still liked what he saw.
I bet he did.
I did cake from Rihanna.
He said, "Would you like a slice of my cake?"
Yes.
He's like, "I'll take two."
he enjoyed it. He did. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I've had that a lot too before, like when I worked at Kit Kat.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had a lot of wives come in and pay me if I can give a little dance to their husband. I'm like, sure. Well, why not?
And the husbands, I'm sure they enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, they blush, but they do enjoy. Well,
it's fun, right? Yeah. You know, it's a little, it's edgy.
You keep it classy.
It pushes you off some of those lines that might be crossed or uncrossed.
Honey, those lines are meant to be crossed. Transgress those boundaries. Mm-hmm. Break through the ceilings. The glass ceilings, the glass walls, the glass floors, smash the binary and create a colorful new world of possibilities.
Yes. And I'm excited to be with Elite Queens now more than anything because, like I said before, everything I did was by myself. So now to have a team work with you feels so much more easier. Yeah. And now I can really focus up. For years, I've been trying to do create my music and been talking to a couple different people about music video and all that stuff. So now it's like getting everything together because there was just so many things to do by yourself that I was trying and not really getting anything done. You know what I mean? So now having the help and the support behind me, it's amazing. I'm so excited. I'm
excited
you.
For you. I wish you the best. You know, we've known you for, 10 years now, right? And it was so disappointing to see you go home from that elimination on RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes. But, you know,
I did go with you guys to see the viewing. I didn't tell you.
We didn't know. We were sitting there in the bar. There weren't that many people in the bar watching it. It was one of the few places in town that was showing it. And it just shows how much, like, the culture around
and it was Hamburger
the show
Mary's.
Has changed. Yeah. And the culture around the show has changed so much, and the people just didn't know about it. And now it's, you know, it's a behemoth.
Now Hamburger Mary's is even on it. It's like,
yeah,
they're doing their own reality. Everybody has their own reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Jade Sotomayor's Drag Race premieres in 4 years from now on the new Kooky Girls Network channel.
Yeah.
Check your local list.
Real Untucked.
If you were doing a reality TV show where drag queens had a battle out for the crown, what would be a, because, you know, a lot of the challenges for RuPaul's Drag Race are based on RuPaul's career.
Mm-hmm.
What would your challenge be that defines you as a performer?
To
ask other people to do.
I don't know.
It's a hard question to
it
answer.
It is very hard. But I mean, I think what I would do definitely in mine is no matter what, I would house these girls so that they wouldn't be trying so much to focus on drama. More so,
the drama will happen if they're asleep in the same room.
Yeah, exactly. So let the drama happen
Celebrity
at the house.
Big Brother style.
So that you could actually really see your art instead of just, you know, wearing different costumes, you know, see more of what really
sewing,
drag queens are still doing,
process.
Creating, rehearsing, because that's all you really get to see is them rehearsing for that number. That's the only time that you ever really see them work.
Sure.
Because they're always kind of like combing a already combed wig or something like that.
What part of it do you think is like Americans just don't want to see people working because we already work hard at our jobs and we're just like Valentina. We want to live in a fantasy world. Even if we know it's delusional and we're of our own making, it's not reflecting reality. We don't want reality. Our lives are reality, you know?
I think it works really, really well for
television.
Top model. I like to see the girls work. I like to see them working. And then I like to see them arguing by the pool or whatever.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Like slow balance. But I feel that my point is that I feel that if you house them and they're not worried about work or anything, that real, authentic issues can be brought up, you know.
Well, I see a lot of real, authentic, awesome things happening for you.
Thank you.
And it's always a pleasure hanging out with you and talking to you, Jade Sotomayor. You can
Likewise.
Follow Jade Sotomayor on Instagram, Facebook land, Twitter land as Jade Sotomayor. Right?
And Snapchat.
Snapchat.
Yeah, I'm getting on that Snapchat.
Is that where you put your too hot for RuPaul's Drag Race photos? You're a perennial. Those kind of forums, people love to look at you naked, girl.
You know what I don't understand, though? I get to post, like, those, like, pictures that you see on Instagram, and then, like, on my Grindr, I have to crop it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why?
Hashtag snakes on this plane. Oh, honey, you, God was good to you. That's all I gotta say there. Hey, folks.
The meaty tuck.
Feast of Fun depends on your tips, on your donations to exist. If you're enjoying our shows, and if you love listening to our interviews with these artists, go giving us a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. We rely on your support. Right now, our computer that we use to record this program has said, I can't take it anymore. I'm done with you. I've officially hashtag had it. And smoke is coming out and the hard drives and everything is like going. So we're generously using our neighbor's computer until the meantime. But he is looking at me and saying, when can I have it back? And so we're doing a GoFundMe right now at GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer, where you can help contribute to keep Feast of Fun around for future generations.
And we're getting close to our goal. We have a goal of $3,500, and right now we are at $2,640. So that means we only have like $860 left to go.
It feels so good to get to this point in just 6 days.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But there are thousands of people who are enjoying the show, and I know that you know, in some ways, you know, it's like clean water out of your faucet. You take it for granted that someone else is going to step up. Someone else is going to save Feast of Fun's computer. But it requires you. Mm-hmm. You can make a one-time donation and make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. If you can't donate for whatever reason, and I know sometimes for some people it's hard, share it with your friends on social media. Somebody who... And write to your friends on social media and say, what does the show mean to you? Why do you listen to Feast of Fun? Mm-hmm. How does Feast of Fun create a positive impact on your life and your everyday? And then they might be inspired either to start listening or to make a contribution.
Because, you know, all those little dollar bills, they all add up to big dollar bills.
Honey, these wigs and these lace fronts aren't cheap.
No.
Hashtags, give a queen a dollar and she'll eat forever.
And again, that's at GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer.
Jade, it's always good to see you. You're surrounded by so much love. You really are a queen who puts so much enthusiasm and love into her performances. It's great. It's such a gift to us having you here in Chicago. You know, with so many of these girls, their careers exploding. You know, they're always pushed either to New York or L.A. And it, for us, it's a little bit heartbreaking because we have to say goodbye. And it's been really great to have you be part of our community and have you be in our own backyard for so many years. I consider you a very close friend, and I'm very blessed to have you in my life. And so thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys are so amazing. So, I mean, hopefully all this hard work, maybe the next time you interview me, I'll be talking about All-Stars or something like that.
Well, all right. So I'm rooting for you.
Thank you, baby.
Hashtags audition for All-Stars 5 starts today. You know, the moral of the story is auditioning for your future dream life starts today.
Bam.
All right, folks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jade.
It's been a pleasure.
Love you.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye-bye.
Ciao.